Hi, ladies. Welcome to the Coach Training and Business Building 101 video series. I'm super, super excited to share a ton of information with all of you who are interested in becoming or are becoming and starting your businesses in life coaching or career coaching or purpose coaching or any kind of coaching at all. I'm so thrilled. It makes my heart sing that so many of you resonate with coaching and that you have gained so much from it, from our journey and from your journey through coaching, and that you want to or are interested in shining the coaching light out into the world in your own way and potentially building a business that is a full-fledged career for you. Super, super excited about that for reasons that I will get into in these videos, definitely. I just hit my timer. I'm going to break this information up into short-ish videos, so 15-20 minute videos. I've divided things by sections. I want all of this information to be digestible for you and thematically kind of in a container for each part of this, because there is a lot to it. So I'm going to break these down into separate videos so that you can kind of watch each one and take notes and reflect on it, digest it, and then kind of move on to the next one. Or you can watch them all in series and then go back through and kind of unpack them together. So that being said, I'm going to give you a ton of info, but also, of course, with, only an hour or so that I'll be doing this, there's so much that I'm not going to be able to cover and dive into. So, I just want to be transparent about that. What I'm giving you today are what I believe to be the need to know pieces of information and actionable steps around what is a coach, what is it to become a coach, what is a coaching business, how do I find my clients. So the need to know information, like if you are interested in or are currently starting a coaching business or just kind of putting your feelers out there to see what it's like, that's what these videos are for. These are the distilled version of honestly, what I wish I knew or what I wish I could have come across or found when I was starting out several years ago. But there just wasn't. There were tons of training programs available at the time. And I think I've mentioned on a couple of other conversations or Life on Purpose video calls that I learned from my formal training. It was a 4 or 5 month in-depth, I think 200 hour, 150 hour training. And I learned some, but I honestly feel like I could have learned everything I learned like in a weekend. The practice part of it was the most helpful because they had us, do, I think 3 hours a week of peer coaching, and that was super helpful. But at any rate, when I finished that program, I found myself like just kind of feeling like I just learned 10% of what I needed to learn in order to go out there and become a coach. So from that point on, I sourced tons of other training programs from other coaches and or entrepreneurs and or business, biz dev stuff, startup stuff, so that I could get a comprehensive understanding of what this, not only what coaching is and like how to be an awesome coach, but also like how are people making money with coaching? What is a coaching business? Because that's a whole different thing that most of these training programs don't teach you. Some of them do now. I don't want to speak as though I know what everyone's up to, but I found that a huge, huge lack in the field throughout the past several years has been like a comprehensive training where the business side of it is actually addressed. And like actually addressed, not just like, we're going to teach you how to do webinars and teach you what a funnel is and teach you how to make a website. Like that's great, but it's useless if you don't understand like what it's supposed to do and how to make it function, right? And like how to actually generate revenue and create impact through that. So again, I don't want to speak poorly of any training programs that are out there. What I am wanting to do with these videos is give you ladies at least the nuts and bolts leg up on what it is you need to know to make decisions around how you want to proceed forward, if you want to proceed forward, and what kind of coaching you may want to do, and how you may want to go about that. So without further ado, I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to highlight the major themes that I'm going to go through with you, and then we'll go ahead and get started in the first section. So, sorry. I want to mention also that, I want to mention also that I will be doing, so I'll be doing these info videos, and then I'm going to be posting these in the Facebook group. And please post your questions based on these videos. And then we'll do our kind of Q&A coach training call next Sunday, since I wasn't able to do it yesterday. And I'll answer questions in there, and we'll start some great conversations in there too. All right. So coach training, biz dev 101 with Coach Vaughn. So we're going to cover the what and why of coaching, the how of coaching, the business of coaching business setup and starter kit, mentorship and training, and then Q&A. So these are the major themes I'm going to be touching on, and there's actually a ton of detail in each of these that I'm going to go through at a good pace. I'll try not to go too fast, but again, these videos, you can watch them over and over. You can do your own research. You can ask me if there's anything that's not making sense, which there probably will be, because there's so much. and it's a lot more straightforward than you think. Like, once you start to get the hang of like the different pieces, it'll all start making sense, especially if you're in the Elements of Entrepreneurship Masterclass. If you're in team, you're going to start noticing a lot of overlap in some of this stuff too. All right, I'm going to move my icon here. Okay, cool. All right, so as we move along, here are some points to consider and or points that you may already be considering. Is becoming a coach right for me? How long does it actually take to gain traction? What can I do with coaching? Do I need a certification? Where or should I do my training? How do I know if I'm doing it right or if I'm ready? Do I need to choose a niche? How do I do that? When do I do that? Can I realistically make a living? How and when? How do I find clients? How do I create a business out of coaching? How long does it take to generate revenue? When can I quit my job? I think this last one is really like what everybody wants to know, right? It's like, is there a recipe for this? If so, how do I implement it? When can I start making money, and when can I quit my job? So a lot of variables involved there, but this training is to help you get there. Okay, so we'll start with part one, the what and why of coaching. So there is, there's an interesting phenomenon with the coaching world, and that is that it is completely unregulated. And that's for good or for bad. There's a lot of pros and cons around that. But essentially what that means is that anybody can go out there and call themselves a coach and start coaching. It's unlike therapy or medicine or law or any kind of specialized degree or vocation or career path where you need to do, like legally, mandatorily need to do by state or by on the federal level, do training and receive that like officiation. So with coaching, that's not the case. So it's completely wide open for good or for bad. And there are a couple of organizations out there that kind of came into the space and said, there needs to be some kind of a standard here, right? Like, you can't just be a free for all because there's no quality control and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So a couple of organizations formed about 20 years ago or so, and the most prominent one is the ICF, or the International Coach Federation. So the ICF, again, voluntary to join it, not mandatory to join the ICF to become a coach. I am not ICF certified for personal and professional reasons. I think the ICF is great. I think that it does lend a lot of credibility to anybody that is ICF certified or is, you know, one of the professional coach, master coach, et cetera. But so that's something to look into. The pros of being ICF certified are that your credibility is potentially greater. That's it. Your credibility is greater. So if like you're wanting to do organizational coaching or enterprise coaching, or, you know, even I guess maybe some people out in the world might care if you're ICF certified, which is totally valid, right? I totally get why people would want to have a coach who's ICF certified. So that would be the advantage. And also they have like tons of trainings and they have continuing education units and they have, you know, a huge community, global community. And when people see your ICF, certificate or what have you, they know that you, they know at least that you've done like the training that the ICF requires. So it is a bit of like a vetting process from the consumer or customer side, client side. So they've set some great standards. They, you know, set a bar where a bar kind of needed to be set, but again, not mandatory to be a part of the ICF. So it's up to you as to whether you want to be ICF certified. That's something that we can talk about, you know, on a side conversation, or I invite you to research more about the benefits of being ICF certified. In order to become ICF certified, you do have to do, you have to go to an ICF credentialed training program, which there are tons and tons of them out there, and they're not super expensive. Maybe like two grand up to 20 grand. It's great. Coaching field, unregulated. So you do have to complete like 160 hours of curriculum, 60 hours of peer-to-peer coaching, something. There's regulations in there. So you just need to go to one of those training programs that are credentialed by the ICF so that then you can actually apply to become an ICF coach. Otherwise, if you're like, I don't know, like I might not want to be ICF certified or that's totally fine as well. And that's kind of where I'm coming in with this information to like give you a sense of what the options are and what this looks like so that you can make these decisions for yourself. And of course I'm always here to talk to you about it as well. So if you're not particularly interested in getting an ICF certification or credential, I do recommend that you do your due diligence in learning the coaching modality, which I'll get to more in a moment here. There are many, many ways to do that. You can do training programs that are not ICF certified. You can do mentorships, training programs. There's tons of books. There's lots of resources, and I'll touch more on those in a second. But I just wanted to be clear that if you don't really care about ICF credentialing, totally cool. Again, I'm not ICF credentialed, and no one's ever cared. but at any rate, so you can still become a really, really powerful coach. In fact, the coaches that I have followed and that I specifically look up to and have mentored under, they're not ICF certified. So anyhow, all right. So going back to the ICF, so this is their, like, this is what coaching is according to them. And I'll let you read this. I'm going to include this workbook in the video footnotes here. So you can go through this in tandem with the video if you'd like to. But essentially the ICF definition is that we're empowering people to produce extraordinary results in their lives, careers, businesses, or organizations. So empowering people through coaching, and they go on to unpack that. I'm not going to read it right now for the sake of time. It's a good definition. I mean, that's the ICF definition. Checks out. One of the things that they specify here is that in order to be considered like a coach or qualify as coaching, you need to have, you need to know the core competencies, the ICF core competencies. You need to know their structure, their modality, and kind of follow the structure that they set forth for a coaching session and what coaching is. So that's one of the, you know, kind of conditional factors of their definition. And so for me, I do agree and align with a lot of what the ICF says about coaching and what coaching is. And I think that it's limited. I think that it's a little narrow and limited insofar as the real impact that coaching makes. It's not just about empowering individuals to live extraordinary lives. It's not just about like success and, you know, all these things. For me, I'm about the potentiality of changing the world through up-leveling and liberating the human spirit, ultimately. So my why, or my definition for myself, right, and it doesn't have to be for anybody else, is about viral awakening and global flourishing. And I defined this for myself when I found out about social entrepreneurship, social enterprise, which is about people, planet, profit, purpose. So that's a form of business or an approach to business that is beyond the bottom line of profit. So when I started learning about social enterprise and social entrepreneurship, I was like, well, that aligns with my, what I want to become into as a coach, right? I don't want to just like empower people for the sake of empowering people, although that's wonderful and that's totally cool if that's what you're up to. But for me, I saw the potentiality for global change in a viral way through impacting lives, right? Through impacting all of you. So I believe that by empowering others to wake up, break free, take responsibility, thrive, and make a positive impact, there will be a viral global shift toward prosperity and flourishing for all beings. So that's like a big mission statement, right? It's a big vision statement. And I truly believe it. Like, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it happen, wherein I'm very specific about the clients I work with. I work with women who want to make a positive impact in the world at whatever scale, but they, it's not just about money. It's not just about fame. It's not just about material things. It's not, you know, like those vanity metrics don't matter to me as much. So that's why as I do the consultation calls with you ladies, I'm really paying attention to why do you want to get out of your whatever situation you're in so badly, and what is it that you want and why? Because I believe that if you're wanting to make a positive impact and be happy and flourish, then everyone you encounter is going to feel that and be inspired by that. And then everybody they encounter. And so there's this whole viral thing happening there. So at the bottom line of that is when I thrive, others thrive. And that's what I'm here on this planet to be a part of. This world needs a lot of help, a lot of help. And I made a commitment to myself that I'm not just gonna sit back and like sit on my laurels or just make millions of dollars and have fun with it. Like, I'm here to make a difference. And again, I'm not saying that this is what you ladies need to be up to with your businesses or your coaching practices, but for me, the potential for coaching to influence the world in that way is really important. So, okay. I'm going to go into the how of coaching and reset my timer. Yes, I'm going to go into the how of coaching here. So this video might be a little bit longer than the rest of them. Okay, so these are the foundations of coaching. Like how do I become a coach? It's four steps as an overview. Skills, knowledge, and competence. Practicum and experience, specialization and niche, and automation. All right, so for those of you who are just starting out and or are thinking about this, which I think is all of you, I do recommend that whether you want to be ICF certified or not, I do recommend that you learn your skills, knowledge, and competence about what coaching is, what the modality is, what the process is, how it works, what the format is, and what the core competencies of coaching are. That's important to me because if people are going out there and saying, I'm a coach, right, in an unregulated field, it can get kind of slippery. And not to say that without training, people aren't great coaches, they are, or without that knowledge, people aren't great coaches because they are. And I think it's important to at least like know the scales before we start to improvise, right? Or at least know what the notes of the piano are before we start playing. So I just spoke about the ICF standard model, core competencies. So these I have a document for, and I will send to anyone or post anywhere that kind of unpacks this. It's not a sexy document, but it has the information in it. So I'm going to post that. Actually, I'll have my assistant make it sexier. So I have that available if anybody needs it or is interested. And then the next part of skills, knowledge, and competence is powerful questions. So questioning and inquiry is really at the heart of coaching. And the theory here, the impetus behind that, at least from the coaching world's opinion, is that our clients have the answers inside of them And we are here to help them find those answers and arrive at those answers, discover those answers. So inquiry is super, super important. So powerful questions are at the heart of this. And I do have a reference list. If anyone's interested, let me know. And for the first couple months, as a baby coach, as one of my mentors used to call me, you can totally have these questions, like go through these questions, get some materials, buy some books, you know, and like highlight the ones that you think are really useful or the ones that are specifically engaging or helpful for people to peel back the layers. And then you can have that list on hand if you're doing like over the phone coaching. I used to have them on hand when I was doing like person to person coaching, when I would just be transparent about it, you know, like coaching you for free. I'm going to read these questions from my piece of paper. Well, I did that with my peer-to-peer coaching anyway. So use that reference list. That's how you start to feel more confident. You know, like you don't have to do it cold. So keep that in mind. And the core competencies are going to also help you understand what it is to have powerful questioning or active listening and be fully engaged with the person as you're going through a coaching session as well. So that's another reason why it's so important that you do these as well, because you'll have that under your belt. Another thing that I think is super important in this first phase is inner game and personal development. I say all the time that entrepreneurship and business development is the best personal development training possible, and I stand by that. And specifically, being a coach and starting a coaching business is massive personal development, because we get to see where our shit or our stuff or our blockages are going to get in the way of our practice, of our business success, and of our impact. So this is where it becomes really, really important to let go of our ego. Oh my gosh, so important to let go of ego, meaning like not being attached to being good or to even getting a result or to someone saying yes or someone saying, oh my God, you're an amazing coach. Like, we have to let all that stuff go, because it's not about us. It's not about us. Like, our business nor being a coach is about us, really. We're the beneficiaries. I mean, we're the benefactors of that, because the experience and the growth we go through is amazing. But really, it's about the service we're providing, and it's about the value that we're providing through our business. So letting go of our ego is massive. Being okay with being a baby coach and being able to go out there and say, like, I don't have a lot of experience, kind of don't know what I'm doing. Let's do this, right? Non-attachment to outcome for a client too is very important. And that's so paradoxical, because we're here to help them get results, but also we can't be attached to them getting results. Because if we, and this is tricky to unpack, but if we are valuing or rating our success as a coach on our client's results, we're crossing a few wires that don't need, that aren't necessarily correlated. So whether or not our clients get results is one thing, and then how great we are of coaches is another thing, and there can be a lot of variables going on there. So if our client is like working at this thing or really wanting this thing and then not achieving it, it doesn't mean we're a shitty coach. It doesn't mean that we're not doing it right. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but ultimately our client's just not getting their results. So that's where we get to tune into them. How can we best serve them? What is it that's getting in the way? We get to get curious with them about what's going on there. It's like a science experiment or the scientific, I use this a lot in the entrepreneurship masterclass, but treating this all like the scientific method, as opposed to like, oh my God, it's not working. Like, I'm so sorry. So letting go of ego. Identifying and handling fears, gremlins, imposter syndrome, performance anxiety, all of this stuff, right? Like extracting, doing the work we need to do to get through all of that. And it's going to come up and it's going to happen. And that's part of this journey. And that's part of why this journey is amazing, because it helps us to know, like notice where we have growth to do in these areas. Imposter syndrome is going to happen at every stage for the rest of your life, as long as you keep like elevating, and whatever elevating means for you. So get used to it. Get used to feeling like an imposter. In fact, if you don't feel like an imposter, you're probably not growing. So I think imposter syndrome, feeling like an imposter, is kind of a good thing because it's an indicator that there's still yet a lot of room for us to grow. What I'm not trying to say is like go out there and be an imposter and like make promises you can't keep or say you can do things you can't do. Or, you know, say you're a master level coach when you're not. But yeah. Okay. So another thing that is related to letting go of ego, right, and working on your inner game is aligning with your value and your role as a coach. So I struggled through this for a while, and I see a lot of new coaches struggle through this where they're like, I should only charge $20 an hour, or like, I'm gonna do free sessions for a year, or I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm gonna show up really nervous, you know, on the call, or like be kind of apologetic in my way of being. Like, maybe this is conscious or not, but I see it all the time. And I was there, and we got to cut that shit out. Like, we have to align with the value that we're bringing to the table. Even if the value is that we are just being present with somebody else, we are valuable. So that might trigger some people. And it used to trigger me, but it's so like, there's a lot of validity to that, that just by being there, just by listening, just by having conversations and working with people around their stuff, that in and of itself is valuable. So showing up as though we're like, you know, cowering or like, I'm sorry, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, own it, right? There's a difference between I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing, and like, okay, I'm new at this and let's see what we can do here. Okay. And aligning with our role as a coach, also very important, like holding the energetic dynamic of like, I'm the coach, you're the coachee. Not to say like be cocky or be overconfident or again, like, you know, present yourself as something that you're not, but owning that role is really important. Okay, practicum and experience. So once you have the skills, knowledge, and competence, it's time to practice. So this is where my coach and another coach I follow, Rich Litvin, are of the philosophy of coach your ass off, which I also agree with. So coach your ass off. Once you start learning this stuff, start coaching. Start coaching, you know, anybody who is interested. Don't go around trying to coach your friends and family without their consent. Like right now, that does not go over very well. Coaching is always and always needs to be a consensual thing where the person being coached knows they're being coached. And I have fallen guilty before of like, you know, stepping into my like coachy way of being because it's so natural to me. Even before I became a coach, like that was my natural way of being. So I have to be like mindful of that. And when I do it, the people I do it with are usually pretty aware of like, oh, it's fine. At any rate though, like just being aware of that. And yeah, so reach out to your friends, your network, colleagues, past colleagues, coworkers, people in LFP, which a lot of you are already doing, your sisters in LFP in the tribe, me, coach your ass off because that's the only way you're going to get better at this. It's a lot of it is like knowledge and a lot of it is practice. Mentor, supervisor, coach, colleague. So this I think is probably the most important part of all of this, honestly. Find someone or someone's multiple people to bring you through this experience and model coaching for you. Obviously, if you're watching this video, you've worked with me in a one-on-one capacity, so you know what it feels like to be coached. So if you are interested in becoming a coach, and I recommend that you have a mentor. So I'm available for that, which I'll get to at the end of these videos. And or, you know, see who else is out there that is coaching in a way or seems to be, or maybe has a brand or a niche that resonates with you, and reach out to them and mentor under them. It may cost you a lot of money. It might be a big investment. Oftentimes it is, but it might not. In a couple of scenarios, I actually, with the top coaches that I mentored under, I was really, really working on my personal development at the time, and I was taking a bunch of programs, like learning the game of success, basically. And one of the things was like how to source a mentor. And so one avenue to this is to take stock and inventory of everything that you're skilled at and that you can do and that you have to offer, and offer that to the person that you are wanting to mentor you so that it's a reciprocal two-way street. That doesn't always work, but sometimes it does. And in both cases, or in two cases, to the coaches I've worked with, I helped them so much with the back end of their business, like, because I knew how to do all kinds of techie things that neither of them knew how to do. So I got to study under like two of the best coaches because I offered them so much value in what I was able to provide for them. So that's an option too. So if you find a mentor or someone you want to work with, you can always say, oh, hey, well, I know how to put together like slide presentations. I'm great at copywriting, or I'm great at Excel spreadsheets, or blah, blah, blah. But find a mentor, supervisor, or coach colleague so that you can actually see what it's like, right? On the front and back end, like how does this all work? I am so glad that I've studied under coaches my entire like span of experience as a coach. So grateful, because there, I would not have learned this stuff going to school or like taking the trainings. I know because I took a ton of trainings. So study under someone who's done it. And it will save you so much time, money, and energy for sure. And if you don't, you know, if you're not comfortable with like formal mentorship, or you can't find somebody, or can't, you know, necessarily invest in that right now, start saving to do so. And or find somebody in your network that is also a coach that has a little bit of time on you, right? Like maybe they're a little bit farther ahead. And see if they would be willing to kind of peer-to-peer coach you or informally mentor you, at least so that you can kind of check out what they're doing and how they're doing it. And do this with a lot of different mentors, you guys. Honestly, like the more exposure, the more experience you get with different kinds of coaches, or at least like coaches who are like at different places in their careers or different niches, the more experience you're going to get and clarity you're going to get as well. What I have found is that at each stage of my business growth or my coach growth or personal growth, I have had a need to kind of graduate from one coach and work with another coach or do some overlap there. So, working with a career coach for a couple of years. Well, first working with a celebrity coach, and then with a career coach, and then with a consciousness, mindfulness, and more like psychology tools coach. And then currently with the mentor that I'm working with. So, and I'm probably skipping a bunch, but you know, get the support you need when you need it. It's the best investment you'll ever make. That includes workshops, trainings, programs, coaches, mentors. Like the more you can immerse yourself in this stuff, the more of an impact you're going to be able to make, and the more successful your business is going to be, for sure. All right. Beware of the echo chamber, and feedback and constructive criticism are important. So another reason why having, you know, a mentor, supervisor, or doing peer coaching is important or just like practice coaching in general, is that you get feedback. And this is another reason why letting go of the ego is so important, because we need to be able to receive the feedback. And taking our ego out allows for us to say, okay, like she really wished I would have asked her this at that point, or he was really hoping that I would get to that, or she would like for me to teach her tools to help her instead of sending her out into the world to try to figure this out on her own, or blah, blah, blah. So get feedback. And then when it comes to learning tools, so in the ICF, they don't emphasize the importance of learning tools that you can then teach your clients and like resources to give them. They don't really emphasize that. In ways they encourage it, but I think it's vital. I think it's like, you know, if I'm a chef and somebody's wanting to learn how to make a delicious meal, and we go to the kitchen and they pull all the ingredients out of the fridge and they put them on the table, I can sit there and say, okay, well, what flavors do you think go well together? And they could be like, oh, maybe like celery and carrot. And they could be like, okay, like, why don't you try that out and see if that works? it's going to take forever for them to maybe to figure out, you know, get to the flavor that they're looking for versus me saying, hey, oh, you want to make a roux or you want to make a demi-glaze? Like, oh, okay, these are the ingredients. This is how you mix them. This is the order of operations. Here's the recipe and the tool for you to do that. So that's where I really differ with a lot of the training programs in the ICF is that I think giving our clients tools and resources and a process is vital. In addition to like the coaching modality. So at any rate, learn tools and how to implement them yourself and then how to teach them to others to implement. Okay, specialization and niche. So niching is imperative. You probably heard this word a bunch. Yes, you need a niche. You need to have a specific group of people that you are serving and a specific group of people need like, you need to be addressing specific pain points and desires and results. So the more specific your niche, the more intimately and deeply you can learn their specific ways of thinking, their backgrounds, emotions, fears, motivators, challenges, dreams, blind spots, and gaps, and thus the more powerfully you can serve them. So the better you can know how and why your niche is where they're at and what they're wanting and how to help them get there, the more powerfully you're going to be able to serve them and the better you're going to be able to market to them and find them and like speak their language and create solutions for them or create resources that help them to create their own solutions. So niching is imperative. Your business and your marketing will thrive, I promise you. And if you don't have a niche, it's going to be wonky. It's totally okay at first if you're like coaching all kinds of people just so that you can kind of feel into like, who do I want to work with? Like, who are my people? What is the niche I'm working with, right? But eventually you're going to want to niche into like as specific as possible. So for me right now, for example, women who are unfulfilled in their lives for reasons related to career or overall life purpose, who really, really, really want to up-level themselves and their happiness and fulfillment, make a positive impact and thrive while doing so. So that's, women find me when their careers are just not making them happy. and for other reasons too, but that's the niche that I'm working with, as you all know. All right. Another way to look at niche too is you are your niche. So the version of you a few years ago, or maybe even 6 months ago, that was struggling or unfulfilled or, you know, like stuck or confused. And now you've like worked through that. So there's your niche, right? So find the versions of yourself, from a year or 2 years or 3 years ago and reverse engineer how you got from there to here. And find the people who are where you were. And that's one of the best ways to go because you then have the confidence that this works and you also know how to speak to it on a really granular level and a really personal level. I have some exercises around that too if you're interested. So specialization part two, there are really fantastic coaches out there who niche, but moreover, they are able to really drill down with their client in the session around some specific topic, theme, or challenge, and they're able to really help that person work through that and solve that during the session, or make significant progress. So these are kind of like executive coaches, corporate coaches, and so these aren't necessarily like one-off or not niche. But their approach, laser coaching, is more focused on like, okay, let's focus on one thing during the session, like digest that, unpack that, and then that's that, right? You don't necessarily have to have a process of like, you know, here's my training or my system, and it can be more session by session, but I don't recommend doing like session by session for your sales, but just in terms of process, it can be session by session. Okay, let's get to part four here and then I'm going to wrap this video out. All right, part four of the how of coaching automation. So a lot of you have asked me, and I wondered forever, Is it actually possible to have a thriving coaching business and like create and generate actual financial abundance, actual like financial freedom, time freedom, like leverage your time, automate your revenue, passive income, all that stuff? Is that possible as a coach? And the answer is a resounding yes. Yes, 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 yes. I promise you, it's possible. Y'all are about to watch me blow up in the next year or two in this way because of all of the legwork that I and foundation laying I've done. But this is the direction that I'm heading in. I'm already, you know, a six-figure coach, but I'm really, really excited to start automating and to start making a bigger impact by basically putting Life on Purpose out there in the world as a standalone program and an evergreen product. So anyhow, yes. And so this is where it's no, like we stop trading our time for dollars. Not that that's bad, right? I think, and why I have personally spent the past 5 or 6 years doing one-on-one coaching while building out my program is because the value of me getting to know all of you and getting to build this community and learning how to become the best coach I can be and like really stretching myself to grow and like that's so important to me. And it's not that important to everybody. There are coaches out there who create a program and they launch their program and they do group coaching and that's it. And that's what they do. And it's kind of like that fast cash model, but it works. And, you know, if that's what they're up to and they just want to have passive income and travel the world and have their program, totally cool. Like, that's great. That's not necessarily what I'm up to. yet. So at any rate, creating programs and courses is the way to go. And you probably hear this, you're going to hear this if you haven't already, everywhere. And little Silvio's wanting to go out. Silvio, come here. Come here, bud. So courses and programs are where it's at. And I'm not going to go super into that right now. But basically, once you land on your niche and you get some experience under your belt and you really learn what it is that helps them go from stuck to thriving or whatever the your sequence is. You develop a system around that, a signature program, and you that program you can bring your one-on-one clients through like I do with Life on Purpose with you guys. And you can launch this and sell this on its own throughout the year. And there are many different ways to go about this. But basically you can do it live where you're doing a live cohort or group and leading them through your program over the course of whatever, 4 to 48 weeks. Or you can do evergreen where people can just buy the course and go through it on their own. So there's so much potential here. The mentor, I'm gonna let my puppy out. Silvio, come here. Here, buddy. I'm almost done. There's so much potential here. And the mentor that I'm working with, Megan Harrison, this is her specialty, which is why I hired her. And she works with clients and helps them to do multiple $100,000 launches per year, like on average. She's about to do Tony Robbins' launch for the second time, and Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi for their knowledge business blueprint program, which I highly recommend, by the way. There's a formula, there's a recipe, it's possible. And, you know, and that's really where we scale our impact and our revenue and our credibility and our authority in the field is through programs and courses. So that's where the revenue really starts to come in and the impact. And then info products as well. So master classes, like what I'm doing right now, if it were more formal and I didn't have a little doggy who wanted to go outside right now, this could be like a master class series, right? Or a webinar series that I could charge, you know, $297 or whatever for and have that on my site for sale in perpetuity. Ebooks are great. Depending on your niche, they can be great. And video trainings, you know, all kinds of things. So info products that can be evergreen are wonderful ways to monetize and scale your revenue. And then licensing your program, your process, your materials to companies, other coaches, institutions is another way to make really great revenue and spread your impact as well. So Life Fund Purpose, for example, totally arbitrary example here, but maybe there's a coach out there who would like to use my system. And so I would license it to them for 20 grand or something, 20 grand a year or something like that. This is really common. So it's or 100 grand. I think somebody in my program right now, my masterclass licenses theirs out for 100K a year. And the person that uses their system makes like 2 million or something. So it's totally worth the investment, but that's a great way too. And then, finally, JVs, which are joint ventures. Sorry, I should put that in here. Joint ventures and affiliate marketing. So what this means is you team up with other people who are in industries that overlap with yours, and you promote each other's stuff. So like maybe I would team up with a yoga instructor or a like luxury homes, real estate company or something, because I do retreats. So the idea here is to find people who overlap and partner up with them, help each other promote each other's stuff. Or affiliate marketing is when you get a slice of usually 50%, 30 to 50% of the revenue by promoting somebody else's product or vice versa. So that's one of the major ways that these coaches out there that are making multiple six figures, seven figure launches are doing it, is that they're telling their colleagues like, hey, if you promote my stuff to your list, I'll give you 50%, right? So if it's a $2,000 course, it's $1,000 just for like a sale, right? To your list, and you don't even have to do anything. So this is really fun stuff. I'm getting into this year, learning so much about this from Megan and the mastermind that I'm in. So yeah, really great. And it's also like helping each other, like bringing each other up too, which I like. It's like non-competitive, which really resonates with me. So, okay. So we just covered the how of coaching. We covered skills, knowledge, and competence, what's important here. We covered practicum and experience. We covered specialization and niche, and we covered automation. So those are the foundations. So if you're just getting started, or if you're wanting to get started, you can dive into this stuff. I'm happy to share my resources around this for you to get started on, or at least familiarize yourself with. And these would be like the nuts and bolts to it. Like if you did each of these bullet points, you would totally be on track to being a coach and having a coaching business. The automation part, this is like layered on down in like further on in your business, but I wanted to let you know so that you can start with the end in mind. And maybe you do want to like automate as soon as possible and like start creating that passive revenue so that you can just like, you know, not have to worry about the bills. So if that's the case, then, you know, start thinking about this stuff, because this is totally, you can start doing this in the relatively near future as well as you get started. So, all right, thus wraps out section one, or phase one, of this training. And I will be moving on in a moment in the next video to the business of coaching. All right. Ciao.